Like, I'm having a hard time getting my finger in my ear.
Really?
That's how jacked I am.
Because of your arms and your shoulders?
My biceps won't allow it.
Wow.
It's all in my fucking head.
Yeah.
It's not real, but I believe I'm getting a big surprise every fucking time. I need to hear Tom say, that was a good fucking movie. Because I know you. And then I go, where's Tom? They're like, he's at the after party already. I go, motherfucker. Motherfucker. 100%. Cheers.
This episode of Two Bears, One Cave is brought to you by Sattva. Go to Sattva, SAATVA.com/the shit and get $200 off any mattress of your choice. Which mattress would you like? Would you like a super luxurious one that you would find in a five-star hotel? Would you like a memory foam one? They make that with their Lumen Leaf line. Would you like a Solaire that moves up and down and has a zero gravity setting and a massage setting? They're all available at Sattva. They're all high quality, environmentally friendly, and Sattva has great customer service. They will arrange for mattress takeaway service for your old mattress, and they will set up your new mattress for you. It's a fantastic experience. I've had so many friends do it, and you can do it too. Go to Sattva, SAATVA.com/the shit and get $200 off any mattress of your choice. You will thank me later. We are back, and I got to say congratulations to my boy. Your movie premiered at the box office, doing well, and give it up, everybody, for the star of the machine, Bert Kirshner. Hear it. Give it up.
Thank you. Thank you. Still in movie theaters. Still in movie theaters.
Still in movie theaters.
Guys, support the movie. It's growing. It's doing great in the box office, but just go out and see the movie. Go out.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Spread the word. That's the coolest thing about the business that we've been in, is that this podcast only got big because people started sharing it with their friends. And so do that for the movie. And then, I'm telling you, good things are to come for me and Tommy.
Yeah.
We had a lot of really good conversations that night.
We did. It's been a whirlwind, I'm sure, of a week for you.
I'm overwhelmed.
I mean, I've never seen you. You usually go hard, but I don't think I've ever seen you press this hard. It has been, I mean, really, you've been like, really.
We were talking about this. I don't know if it's exhausting. You know, it's so funny that the whole process of promoting a movie is.
You have a new appreciation for it.
Oh, my God. Dude, yeah. Tom Cruise, he deserves every fucking bit of $25 million or whatever the fuck he gets.
Oh, he gets a lot more than that. But, the other thing is, don't you have a new appreciation for, like, just, it's almost like how much it takes to make them, like, everybody, you know, it's such a collaborative thing.
I'm never going to shit on someone's movie.
I will only do it for select people, but it does make you go, I've been involved in a few, and you go, like, it's such a huge collaboration, and you just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, everyone's trying their best to make the best thing, the best result. But it does, when it's done, you go, man, we all worked so hard to make this.
You know, it's so funny. One of the things was told to me, there's a young lady, I forget her name, but she's now a director. She was, our AD on the movie.
Uh-huh.
And she said, you know, I forget how the conversation happened, but she said, you know, you need to really promote this movie because, you know, that, like, you do your stand-up. It was when we were in Serbia. And I was like, yeah, I know. I want it to do well. And she was like, yeah, but if it does well, it does well for Serbia. Like then people will trust that we can make movies.
Sure.
Because, you know, that is a weird thing. It's like, we made this movie in Serbia, and you saw the movie.
Yeah.
The opening shot when we go into the casino, you know, and not spoiler alert, but when you see that opening shot, it's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
And the reason we could afford that shot is because we shot it in Serbia.
Did you do the stuff that was supposed to be in L.A.?
No. Serbia.
So even like the party at the house.
Dude, there's so much I want to fucking deep dive on this movie. That house, they redesigned the entire kitchen. That's like someone's like living room.
Yeah.
And they just turned it into a kitchen. Nothing worked in there.
Set designers are actually the most impressive on a...
Amazing.
On productions.
The man cave, they built it. They entirely built it.
Yeah.
They paved the driveway.
And what's crazy too is that they do that, and it's like one scene, and they're like moving on, and then they're just done with that shit.
Well, you know I don't want to get into the weeds on this movie, but I'm very proud of it, and I think I can attest that it's a lot better than anyone imagined it to be.
a lot better than anyone imagined.
It's the reviews. The reviews have been very, 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 very kind. And like, I haven't read any. I don't read any of the critics' reviews. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't matter to me. Matters to me is what the fans think.
Sure,
because it's like stand up.
It's like stand up. Like if you go like, hey, there was a stand up critic at your show tonight. You're like, okay, but yeah. You care about the people.
There was 250 critics in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all. That's the critic you play to. No, I'm not dismissing critics. I think they're
important,
it's an essential. It's interesting. It's interesting to hear someone who is in the movie's insights.
But you can't play to a critic is the point.
If I make a movie for a critic, I'm probably going to lose my fans because I know I don't understand the ones they like.
Yeah.
Like the movies they like, I go, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And so, but the reviews have been really, and the one thing people keep saying is like, this is way bigger. This is like a real movie. I thought this was going to be some rinky-dink, low-budget movie.
Well, yeah, but you had a fucking real budget.
We had a real budget and you know, and we're doing great, and I just want people to go out and see it in the theaters, and that is so important for me because I think it's a movie that needs to be seen in the theaters. Like when I saw Top Gun Maverick,
yeah,
I was like, dude, fucking, can you imagine the idiot that's like, oh, wait till it comes out on my phone,
yeah.
Well, and you're like, that's
you're,
not.
You're sitting across from him. So I haven't seen it. I never saw it.
Oh, it's so good.
But I just didn't see it. I mean,
it was so good. It's in the movie theaters. You're going.
No, I do think that those big movies are made for the theater. And like, yeah, I mean, he really has actually played a huge role. Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
In keeping theaters a thing because he refused to have that one go to streamers. But the other one that some people don't know is that he'd been shooting the latest two Mission Impossibles and he does them at Paramount and they were like, hand them over. And he just kept going, they're not done.
Yeah.
Since he controls them.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's been fucking like 2.5 years. And he's like, not done.
Not done. And then negotiate my contract.
Yeah, when they finally were like, all right, it's a full, you know, theater window release. He's like, guess what? It's done.
Yeah.
And then he handed them over.
Dude, I'm telling you, when you, like, it's so funny because you watch a box office and then you go, it must be so frustrating to be like Giovanni Ribisi or like someone who's not a Marvel star,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like just a good actor.
Yeah.
And to know that you're always competing
yeah.
against fucking Thor and Guardians of the Galaxies and Avengers and Superman and Batman and Fast and the Furious and Little Mermaid and like
huge,
you're
huge.
Always battling against those
yeah.
mega hundred I think Little Mermaid made 119 million and you know that your fans are like I got fans that I know went hey man I love you but my little girl wants to go see
sure.
you and you're like no I get it but to be like just a good actor just like a solid actor who could kill it, and knowing that you've got to wait for your thing, your franchise thing, because that's the only way you can make movies. I really think it's this whole fucking thing has been so fascinating. My biggest thing, my biggest takeaway, and look, everyone knows I love talking about me. I love talking about me. I love it. I'm so good at it. I enjoy it. It's never bothered me. I don't notice. Like I have a thing where when people shit on me, they're like, enough, Bert. I go, yeah. Unless you like me, then it's not enough. Like, right? And so, but then I understand fucking Johnny Depp and Joaquin Phoenix and those guys. I understand them going like, I don't want to, can you just let the work speak for itself or Adam Driver?
Sure, sure.
Like you get it because there is a moment where you go, oh, I need to shut the fuck up for a little while. Like yeah. I'm talking way too much.
You felt like this?
Dude. After you tell the fucking, and it's because I'm podcasting, you know, I try not to repeat stories and I know I've done it on Rogan, but even like in promoting the movie, you're telling the same
five stories a hundred
times. And you're like, oh God.
Yeah. Well,
but, and let's just get to the real meat of this.
Me surprising you at the premiere.
Dude,
so
that.
For people that don't know. I got to also say something that I thought about a lot.
What?
There really is a difference. And this goes for like all people in different relationships is that there are things that are important to some, like one person in a relationship that's not important to the other person. And sometimes you have to like what I mean is I am not a birthday party guy. I'm not like,
your wife and I were just talking about this outside.
I'm not really.
We were just saying, we were watching you do red flags.
Yeah.
And she
first
said,
date.
First date.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
we're watching you do it.
It's a new podcast.
And you said something, and it was something people probably don't know about you. And then I just whispered that he's dead inside. And Christina goes, "Oh, you're telling me." And then we started. She said, "You know we're identical, right?" And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "He can just." And we started talking about you, and I said, "You know." And then we started talking about the premiere.
Yeah.
And I said, I was so silently hurt because I was like, tell the story from the beginning.
So what I was trying to say is that you come to realize that sometimes you go, well, since if this is not important to me, I don't mean your event. I mean, going to things like I've been invited to dozens of mm-hmm. premieres, after parties, events. And I have attended, I think counting yours now, either two or three, because I have only attended for the person, not for like some people go, oh, there's a thing.
Oh, I don't. Yeah. I'm not that person.
I'm not going to anything like that. Why? I detest events and I just don't have a good time. I was telling somebody about, as I get to the story, I go, the difference, I go, if I had been my premiere, Bert would have been like, when's your premiere? And I said, 2 weeks ago. And you would go, what? I go, I don't know. I just didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm trying to say it not like, I'm not saying it's, I'm saying personality wise, I would just go, I would think that you wouldn't want to go. So I didn't even bring it up because that's just how I think.
I started texting you. I started texting you probably
a couple weeks ago.
A few weeks ago when you were in Europe.
Yeah.
And I texted you and Joe first. I said, I have a private. Leaving Austin on Wednesday, going into whatchamacallit. Why don't you guys hop on? Joe texted right away. I got to protect my parks with Ari and Shane and Mark. I can't do it. I got shows that night. I appreciate it. Good luck. And then you didn't reply. And then I went, okay. Send a text to you and Christina. Hey, I got a private leaving Wednesday night. No reply. Send a text to you. Hey, man, what's going on with the premiere? Because in my head, there was a number of things.
Yeah.
Number one is, you know, secret time, we have business over there. Like we have business over there. Like, and so I was like, I want to introduce you to everyone. I want to make sure you know everyone. I want everyone to, you know.
Yeah, FaceTime with people.
And number two, it's like I remember saying to someone, I remember saying on a radio show, they're like, so is Tom coming? They're like, I go, I don't know. And they go, wait, what? And I said, what do you mean? And then I go, I don't know. I haven't heard from him.
But to give it full story.
Okay.
Full story. I was in Europe, and I'm not. This is not a good thing.
No.
But I was there for 40 days.
That is, you know, you tour like and a fucking
like a lunatic.
And no, you tour like tour, you're in World War II.
The tour is over. Know. But one of the things was, I think I probably saw one of your early texts and was like, I got to try to make arrangements for this.
Yeah.
And then when I got home, I have a wife that's not thrilled that I've been gone for 40 days. My kids. Are young kids. They're not teenagers. They're young kids. And they're like, oh, you're the dad, right? It's not good, I'm saying, you know?
Yeah.
So when the idea of like, hey, do you want to come to this premiere in another state? It's not like you're down the street.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, bringing it up, I was even like, you know, hey, it's like, no, you just got home. So at first it really was just like, and I honestly, I got to tell you something.
I've been curious what the breakdown of this was.
Okay. I honestly thought.
I'm curious to know
when I told you
folded.
That, when I told you that.
Yeah.
When I told you that, I really thought, because I think people with parents, with kids think this way. I thought you were just like, oh yeah, totally get it. No problem.
Okay.
And
hang on. Let me back it up.
Okay.
When you said it to me the first time, I said, I really meant it. Totally get it. No worries.
Yeah.
Totally get it. No worries. And then I did press, two things of press, and it came up, and I was like, he's not coming. And both of them were like, what? What the fuck? What's happening? And I was like, I don't know. He's, you know, he just got off tour from Europe. He just got home. And they're like, he can't fly out for the day. And I was, and like, people would almost convince me that I should get hurt about it.
Well, I understand
and so then,
that.
And so it built.
Well,
and then I said it at dinner with a bunch of people. And they're like, Tom's not coming? And I was like.
But meanwhile, as you're saying that, I'm really just like, we talked about it, and you're like, no worries. And I just take you, I take it at that.
I was good, and then it started building, and then Leanne found out.
Leanne found out and texted.
Fucking lost her shit. She lost her shit, and I said, hey. She goes, is Tom coming? And I said, no, he's not going to make it. He just got home from Europe. She was like, are you being serious? And I was like, I wouldn't joke about it. I have no reason to joke about it. And I really was genuinely, like, I was good with it. And then Leanne sent you a text.
She sent me a text.
You and Christina a text.
Together.
And said, did not include me on it and did not tell me about it.
She goes, are you guys really not coming to the premiere? And I was like, I mean, I thought we... I thought this was worked out.
I was like, and so now, mind you, I've had three builds up, so people like getting in my head.
So here's the thing.
And then Leanne sends the text, and then you text me. Keep going. The text was even worse. She goes,
are you really not coming? We're like, well,
no.
She's saying it to the two of us, by the way.
Let's be very clear. You guys didn't reply because she said I never got a reply from them.
We replied.
No, maybe privately to her.
To her.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
We replied to that text. Christina took like.
Oh yeah.
Really was like, hey, he just got home. He's been gone for this long period of time. We don't, you know, for us to leave for like the two of us, we have to have somebody come watch the kids.
Yeah.
We don't have somebody live in that, you know, to that does. So it's like it's a whole thing. Yeah. And just thinking like, I don't know that explanation. And then she replied. Your wife replied. She was like, yeah, I get it. Still, it really is a fucking bummer that you're not able to be here, and it's a huge night for Bert and all this stuff. And I felt bad in that moment.
Now, I was not a part of this conversation or this text.
But what I did then, because we have not had this conversation, you and I. So what I did then was I called PR people that I work with, and I said, I would like to try to make arrangements to go to the premiere. Can I do that? So as they're trying to make the arrangements, they... remind me, and I had genuinely forgotten that.
Okay, hold on, hang on. So wait, just so.
Yes.
Hang on. So before that, you said to me, "Hey, I'm going to try to make it to the premiere."
Yes.
So you said, "Man, I got a pretty heavy text from Leanne."
I'm going to try to
call Leanne. I'm like, "What the fuck did you do?" And she goes, "This was her reply. They're our friends. I'm going to speak to them like they're our friends. This isn't business. They're our friends. If I can't speak to them the way I want to speak to them, then we ain't friends no more."
Yeah.
And I said, well, baby, but you got to understand. She goes, no, I don't need to understand shit. I don't need to understand shit. I'm gonna talk to Tommy the way I want to talk to Tommy. I'm going to talk to Christina the way I'm going to talk to Christina, because I would hope that they would talk to me like that and respect our friendship.
Sounds like you're doing an impression of someone you have locked up in the backyard.
Fucking, that's who I feel like I live with sometimes.
So I...
And so I go, babe, I go, I'd already talked to him. She goes, no, let him reply.
So then, okay, I send that message. I go, hey, I want to try to make it to the premiere. Can you help make the arrangements, you know? And I'm telling you, I'm like, I'm trying to make it. I tell you that.
You text me that, and I go, and now?
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to fuck. Like, meaning, if we're on a date, yeah. I go, oh, shit, I just got into her house. She just poured cocktails. Nice. Oh, shit. Now my heart's up. I go, Tommy's coming. I go, I knew he'd fucking come.
The next reply I get is like, oh, so for people that don't know, my book came out last year. Thanks to, again, the fans, it did well, and it's being reprinted.
In paperback.
It's in paperback. So that's like a new, that's when like a book comes out in hardcover, and then if it sells enough, they do a reprint in paperback. Yeah. So they go, you have an event that night at Barnes & Noble that people are attending, that there's you're signing books and taking photos to celebrate the reprint in paperback here in Austin. So I go, oh, and then they send me the thing. It's already been sent out. It's been emailed to people. Yeah. It's a whole thing. So I go, oh, and again, I'm like, oh, I'll just tell you that I send it to you. And it's genuine. I'm like, I have a book event.
I didn't open it.
Okay.
I didn't open it. I didn't open it because I didn't open it. And then like 4 hours later you go, hey, I'm not getting a reply about this.
Yeah. I felt weird.
This is feeling weird.
Yeah.
So I opened it, and then I was like, and then part of me goes, I swear to God.
Yeah.
Part of me goes, he had someone at YMH Photoshop that to get out of this. And I go, fucking. And then now I'm like, fine. And so now I feel like if we were going to fuck, now she just walked in and she goes, I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. And then I'm like, well, what are the drinks for?
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, and just poured them out and goes, you need to leave. Yeah. And so I'm like, and so now I'm like, okay, I can't, because now my emotions are going up and down. I go, I can't fucking deal with this. I can't deal with it. Okay. And I don't even want to fucking deal with it.
I really, really go, this is, again, like, I'm thinking that by sharing that with you, that you're like, oh yeah, dude, of course.
I once again go back to, hey, no worries.
Yeah.
I totally understand it.
And I take that as like genuine. Yeah. And then I come in here. This is the day before, I think. And I talk to Ryan. He's going and we have a conversation. I'm like, I think I could probably try to move it. I mean, I can, you know, see what they say, because I know they're not going to be happy, but I think they'll move it. So I send a message right then in that moment. In that moment, I'm in Ryan's office. And I go, you have to move the book event. And they're like, we do? I'm like, yeah, it's the next day. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Like, I go, we got to find me a new date. I go, I'm gonna go to the premiere. So I go, but I'm not going to tell them. So just make arrangements. Let them know I'm coming, but don't let him know I'm coming. And then I get the idea in the morning to just start documenting it, like documenting myself going.
Yeah.
So I like record myself. And then, like it was scripted, I sit in front of the two fattest pieces of shit with their crying turd of a child.
On Southwest
with like real gross pores. And it was just, yeah, it was, and I just, the whole time I'm like, God, I hope he fucking sees this. Oh yeah, it's that one there. And it's like, yeah.
Is premiere of The Machine in Los Angeles. I'm currently in Austin, and I'm going to surprise him at the premiere. I told him I couldn't go because I really couldn't go. I actually had a book event tonight, and instead, I'm flying to surprise my friend at his movie premiere.
Southwest.
I'm flying with like the regular folks.
The lowest of the lowest.
I just don't want you to ever forget this, dude.
You flew on Southwest.
That was the whole flight.
Hopefully you'll be surprised. I'll tell you this, this flight was a nice surprise.
That's fucking great.
You know who
Bert
Kreischer is?
You do? How would you describe him?
Funny.
Funny. Physically, would you describe him funny too?
Funny.
Funny. Yeah, that's super diplomatic of you. Not the guy I'm used to driving.
You really overdid it, Bert. I knew you would. Super over the top. Is that? Oh, man. I thought that guy was dead.
And this was it. Coming up and... It was, and this is now one of my favorite memories. I'm so glad that I went and did this.
Well,
and,
it's so funny because the real humorous part of this is, so I have a...
Go back to that page real quick, the Instagram, and go to the next, the still photos. No, up on the right. Yeah. These photos are great that Troy Conrad took.
Troy Conrad takes the best fucking pictures.
He got us in that moment. It was really...
That was fucking amazing.
Yeah. It's such... I really love those photos. And then in front of your... God, you have a big head.
I do. It's so fucking large.
Yeah.
Looks great on screen.
Yeah.
Look, that's my favorite picture. That's going to be. Yeah. So this is the really fascinating thing.
Yeah.
There should be a therapist to break this down.
Okay.
So we get in. So I fly to Leanne, Victoria, and I fly to Austin to do Rogan.
Oh, last week.
Last week. We do spots at the Comedy Mothership. Ryan comes out. See Ryan talking to Leanna Victoria. And I pull Rogan aside. And I'm like, something's going on with Tom. I go, I can't tell. Something's going on. I'm like really broken up. And I'm like, And he goes, "You going to the premiere?" And I went, "No." And he went, "What?" And I
he's not going either.
Yeah, but he's but me and you were different than me and him. Yeah,
okay.
And so we I start breaking it down. I go, "I feel like he's lying. Something's going on. He was in Europe for 40 days. So I'm sensing some sort of distrust. We need to really get to the bottom of this as his friends." I mean, it's getting bad.
Okay.
We do Rogan the next night, and then we fly home. And then that morning I'm going to the premiere. And I say to Peter and Victoria in my car, now I have a syndrome that I always believe people are about to surprise me with presents. Every one of my birthdays, every single birthday I've ever had,
you're like,
I'm like, wait, where's the surprise? Where's the surprise?
Yeah.
People are throwing me a surprise party. I've never had a surprise party ever in my life. My sisters came out one time to visit me in LA. And I go, there's more. My buddy Wicho's flying out. And the whole time I kept looking over their shoulder. I always believe someone's going to surprise me.
Yeah.
And I'm always let down. I'm always let down because I never get the surprise. Because it's all in my fucking head.
Yeah.
It's not real, but I believe I'm getting a big surprise every fucking time. So we're driving to go to the, to scout the premiere and like early at like fucking... There's so much to this. At like 3 o'clock, 2:30, it was actually 11 a.m. And we're at fucking Coldwater and Ventura. And I turn to Victoria and Peter and I go, I need to tell you something. I go, I always feel like I'm getting a surprise. I just want to, put this out there so that you know what's going on with me if it doesn't happen. I go, I feel like Tom's going to surprise me today. And Peter goes, that's super interesting. I said, why? And he goes, because he explicitly said the exact opposite. And I went, I know. And he goes, no. He actually said, hey, I'm not coming. And you believe he's going to come? I go, I always do this. I always believe it. And he goes, well, okay.
You really said that?
I said, I swear to God, in the car. And Victoria's like, hey, if he doesn't come, don't let that ruin your night. If he doesn't come, just enjoy it. So this is a party thrown for you, by you. So enjoy the night. And I said, I will. I get to the thing. Now, in a red carpet, the way you're supposed to do it.
Yeah. Yours was not that.
No. Oh, no.
It was the most insane thing I've ever seen for a premiere.
We shut
down.
And
I was talking to, like, there's a bunch of producers that were there, some involved in the film and some not, like at the thing. And they were like, yo, this shit is like, they don't have premieres like this for Iron Man. They're like, I don't know what. They're like, this is the wildest fucking red carpet we have ever seen.
The red carpet was fucking insanity. Yeah. It was an entire, if you go to mine, I do a walkthrough of the red carpet.
Yeah. Scroll down a little more.
Scroll down. They're right there.
That one, yeah.
And it is an entire street block, like a quarter of a mile.
Yeah.
And there was activations everywhere to kind of inspire people to take pictures and tag the machine. That's Will Call. We had shot skis where you pour shots on a ski right there. We had a Dave Williamson interviewing people right there. We had a big punch boxing thing right there because in the movie I get punched. We had food trucks. Food trucks aren't there right now.
Yeah.
We had food trucks lined up, bars lined up there, DJ, liquid death activation. We had a little bit of waste management on the 19th hole. I mean, and then we had axe throwing. We had flip cup. And then we had the step and repeat. It was all us. It was all us. Like, it was me going, I want this to be fucking epic. I want fans to come down and fucking enjoy the fuck out of this.
I think they did.
I'll never forget this.
Yeah.
So they tell me, they go, get there at 5. We're supposed to be seating at like 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Get there at 5:40. I go, you're out of your fucking mind.
You're like, I'm fucking Bert.
I go, I want to greet people when they get there. And they're like, you're the star of the movie. I go, yeah, but I'm not gonna fucking have this huge fucking red carpet and not enjoy it. I'm gonna enjoy it. I want to see everyone. I want to say hi to everyone.
Yeah, you're the people's champ.
I just want to fucking have a blast. And they're like, the star of the movie shows up right before the movie starts, and then that gets everyone inside. And I go, I'm getting there at 3. I was supposed to be there at 5:45. I show up at 3. And I greet everyone. I get out of the car shirtless. I greet everyone. The whole time, I'm looking over, like going, where's Tom? The whole time.
Really?
The whole time, I'm going like this, where's Tom? Where's Tom? And then I said, And then I start getting very active. I have to go and do interviews at CNN, and all these interviews are stationed at every activation. And then I get really busy, and I realize, hey, it's okay. He's not coming. It's okay. It's when I'm throwing axes. Apparently, at that moment, they were trying to get me to freeze there so you could, because I guess Victoria, everyone was in on it.
Yeah.
Leanne was in on it.
Yeah.
And so I had already given up on you. I had completely given up on you. And I was like, he's definitely not coming. He's actually not coming, but I'm having a great time and it's totally cool. Bussing with the boys. Leanne flew them out.
They flew out
on
24. Will Leanne, and Taylor.
Leanne's such a fucking gangster. She fucking booked them tickets. I did it for the KFC guys to Amsterdam. She hit them up and was like, yo, I got tickets for you waiting at the airport. 24-hour notice. Come on out to LA. They fucking flew out. And I'm like, this is awesome. Cowhead flew out. Rover.
Yeah, yep.
So many people flew out that I'm like, this is totally cool. This is a great night. This is amazing. And I'm like, I'm good. And then we do Flip Cup and you came out and I fucking fell apart. Yeah. I cried harder than when my kids showed up. Like,
well, I teared up too. I teared up too. I had sunglasses on, but I teared up too.
It was such a fucking great surprise. But I was like, I said to Leanne, you know, he could have just said he was coming, because I didn't know that there was any reality to any of it.
Yeah,
like we could have just said he was coming. And then I wouldn't have been so angry at him for a fucking day.
Yeah.
And then I could have just said, hey, it's so great seeing you.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's better this way.
Yeah, it was better. It was better. I didn't expect to get emotional. I just feel like, you know, the difference, I swear to God, if it was my premiere, I would have been like, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry I invited you.
Well, there's a part of me that was like,
I didn't mean to fucking...
There was
you.
A part of me that was like nervous to have you come, because I was like, well, because you have to watch a movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I'd never watched it in front of people, so I didn't know if people were going to like it.
No, I liked it.
And then all of a sudden in the movie, we get to that, we're already on the train, and I'm like, fuck, this is moving fast.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I know what scene's coming up next. Oh, this is going to get a big laugh. Oh, fuck, I already know what. Oh, shit, we're almost done with the movie. And then the movie got done, and Leah Thompson came out to me. She was the first person to talk. I had two things after the movie happened. After
the swimmer? Happened.
No.
Who?
No, that is interesting, though. I've been saying that name. Am I saying the wrong name?
I don't know.
Leah Thompson.
Let's see.
Wow, I didn't know they had the same name.
Oh.
Leah Thompson.
This, oh, her. Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, she's not in the movie, is she?
No, she just was at the premiere.
Oh, okay, okay.
And she came out to me, and she said she was, like, through the roof about my acting and through the roof about the movie and how fun it was. And she's like, you know, this is, like... She said all these great things. That's the first person I see. And I'm like, holy fuck. Then I see her daughter, Zoe,
mm-hmm.
comes out. And Zoe's an accomplished actress. And she starts complimenting. And then my dad comes out. And my dad is shaking, crying uncontrollably.
Really?
And he goes, I've underestimated you. And he couldn't talk. And then me and him I gave him a hug and we cried together. This is all in the corner. Jimmy comes out, Jimmy Tatro, and is like, dude, the fucking movies. And all these compliments are showering me. And then I'm like, I just need to hear Tom. I need to hear Tom say, that was a good fucking movie. Because I know you. And then I go, where's Tom? They're like, he's at the after party already. I go, motherfucker, motherfucker. And so then I go racing over to the after party. And And then the first thing you said was, that movie's fucking awesome. I was like, dude, thank you.
I had a really good time.
And so I was like, that was
Can I tell you something? I really enjoyed the movie. And I honestly was, I mean, I was surprised that you could act.
Oh, thank you.
I really thought you were just going to be stammering through it like a Joe Biden speech or something, but you did a really good job. And I thought that it's a fun ride.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's enjoyable. There's these huge laughs. Your cast is great. They are just fantastic. Like the girl that plays the Russian daughter,
Eva
she's
Babich.
Fantastic. She's fantastic. Yeah. She's like a really, I mean, it's super, super fun. It's super enjoyable. And I laughed and I like, it's also like feel good, fun. Like there's a nice, I don't want to give it away, but like a fun like ending to the movie, which always feels like it's actually one of the most challenging parts, I think, to a movie is how is it going to end?
Yeah.
You know, because you go on these rides and then everything kind of like falls. So I really enjoyed the movie, but do you remember that what I said to you, like I came over to you at the after party and I go, man, that was really fun. I laughed. It was a great time. I had a good mood. You know, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then I go, did you just fart? And you go, no. And do you remember what you said next?
No.
You go, that's just me. And then I talked to you for another couple of minutes and that smell didn't go away.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is that? And you go, that's just me.
Yeah. I had worked so much in the heat that day that I just fucking smelled like shit. I just smelled like absolute shit.
I was like, man, that really smells. And you go, that's me. Oh,
yeah, wow. I'm on a burner, man.
I really enjoyed the movie, Bert.
I'm really glad you could be a part of that.
I had so much fun.
It was so fun.
There's a couple like huge laughs that I definitely won't give away, but like that I really, really enjoyed. And I also got a couple really cool shout outs from you in the movie. It was fun for the fans. I think,
did you see the spray paint one?
Yeah, of course. That's funny. I was sitting in a section too. Everybody was like, hey, look at the fucking wall tops.
Yeah.
I was like, I got it.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like the whole time the one thing I'm excited for is if and when we get to do a project.
Yeah.
The funnest part is having done this, I know what works for me.
Yeah.
And I know what would work for you. So that's the funnest.
I could hear you because we had talked about the film, even though I hadn't seen it. And then I was watching it and I kept hearing what you had said, which was like, it's best when I fail. I thought that too, as I was watching the movie.
For some reason, I fail really good.
No, it's endearing and funny. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's so much that I can't wait. I can't wait until I can talk about the making of this movie, because that was the funnest part, was the getting to know people.
Yeah.
And getting to know what they liked and then adding it to their character. Like Eva Babich, the villain, is really funny in the movie.
Well, you told the audience that's watching there something that you said, I don't want to give it away, but you're like, she had said this about like her taste in television and film.
Yeah.
And then it's in the movie, right?
Yeah, so in the movie. We put it in the movie because it was so bizarre.
So bizarre.
She's so bizarre. We had taught her, I said this in the thing, I could share this, but she's Croatian. So she's very dry, like very, very dry. And so the first day.
She's 46?
No. Is she?
That's what it says.
She's got great skin.
Yeah, she doesn't look 46.
She has great fucking skin. She, and by the way, I kissed her too.
You did?
Yeah.
In the movie?
I totally forgot, yeah.
Wait, in the movie?
In the movie, they edited it out.
Oh.
We had a kissing scene. But it was weird when we did it, because I was like, well, there should be no sexual chemistry.
Yeah.
But it's just a weird moment.
When was it?
Oh, we edited the whole chunk out. Not at the end, but before my last fight scene. We edited it all out, but we had taught her D's nuts.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
We had said to her, you know, I did it to her. I said, well, it started with smatter baby. I said, oh, you got a smatter baby on your leg. She goes, what's the matter, baby? And I said, nothing's the matter, baby. What's the matter with you? And she didn't get it.
Yeah.
She went, huh? Yeah. I said, nothing's the matter, baby. And she goes, no, what's the matter, baby? And I went, no, it's a joke. And she goes, I don't get it. I said, you didn't do that kid stuff when you were a kid, like an up doc? She goes, what's up, doc? And I went, nothing's up, doc. She goes, I don't get it. And I went, hold on, you don't get any of these? I go, you never did D's nuts? And she goes, no, what's that? And I go, you go, pass me D's. And she goes, D's what? And I go, D's nuts. And she goes, it's not funny. I said, it's really funny. And she goes, no, it's not. And we said, no, it's really, like, if you do it to an American, they'll get it. It's funny. And this is so who she is. The next day we're in the tent and fucking Mark Hamill comes in, who's like 74. And she goes, Mark, watch out for these. And he goes, huh, these? And she goes, these nuts. And he goes, what's that? And she goes, I don't know. And she goes, it's a joke. And he goes, it's not funny. And she goes, I know it's not funny. And looks at me and goes, why would you have me do that? And I'm crying laughing. I am crying fucking laughing.
That's fucking, you worked with Mark Hamill.
I know.
It's crazy, right?
It's fucking bizarre. To me, what's even more bizarre is to know him. Like to know him as a dude.
Yeah.
Like I know him really well. And then to know parts of his personality it's crazy. It's just crazy. Like I go, Mark, tell my dad about meeting Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he's like, oh yeah, Mark met Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold wanted advice on his acting career because he was going to start doing movies and Mark had just done Star Wars. So they went to lunch and Mark said, I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, lose the fucking accent. He goes, it's never going to work. No one can understand you. Lose the accent. Get an American accent. Number two, you got to lose the last name. He goes, it's not going to fit on Marquise. So lose the last name, lose the accent. So then I go and I work out with Arnold and I go, hey, he goes, your dad's Mark Hamill. And I said, yeah. And he goes, he gave me two bits of advice when I was young. And I what do you lose the fucking name and lose the fucking accent. Never listen to that guy. Yeah, it's Arnold. Man, I gotta be very candid because I know Arnold's team watches this and puts this in front of him. Arnold's a fucking gangster, man.
Yeah.
Arnold's a gangster. He's been...
I think he's doing well.
He's so sweet to me throughout this whole week, the first weekend.
I know that. I saw that, for people that don't know, that you did like a little press thing where you went and you worked out with him at Gold's, right?
Yeah, we worked out at Gold's in Venice Beach. And he was fucking awesome. Dude, shout out to Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Shout out to The Rock. Dude, all those guys are solid guys who fucking reposted all my shit. Mark Wahlberg shot another separate video and posted it for me.
Did he really?
Dude, go to Mark Wahlberg's feed.
Yeah, let's go. Let's hear.
Go to his feed.
Bert Kaiser. What's up, baby? Don't scroll through this video. I saw your video yesterday. I saw you promoting the machine. You had your gloves on, your chain. You were doing them hammer curls. It looked a little weak, but I get it. You're in character. You put all that weight for the movie. Drank a lot of beer, ate a lot of Wahlburgers. But now, we got to get you in shape for the next movie that you're going to do with me. So you can only drink Fletch Azul so you can lose weight, and you're going to get your ass to F45. Like about 30 ladies over there are going to kick the living shit out of you. They're all going to make you feel bad about yourself because they're stronger than you, and they got more drive, more determination. But that's going to change. It's going to end up motivating you. You and me are going to do an action movie together, all right?
Nice.
Only Fletch Azul and training. I took Big Mike from 280 to 206. In 91 days.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. You're next. Let's go. Big action movie. Make sure everybody goes and checks out The Machine this weekend.
These guys.
And the boys, the Cardboys. It's
one of the biggest movie stars in the world, man.
Stop messing around, bro.
And you better. Honestly, you're 270. Imagine if you did that for 90 days.
I'm pretty jacked, though. Like, I'm having a hard time getting my finger in my ear.
Really?
That's how jacked I am.
Because of your arms and your shoulders?
My biceps won't allow it.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. No, man. I mean, The Rock, Arnold, they were all like, that was so cool of them to repost.
Yeah.
And it's like, and they didn't need to.
It says a lot about them, honestly, that they would do that. It really does. I do think, though, that the coolest thing is that you got to work out with Arnold.
Dude,
I do think that's the coolest.
Can I tell you?
Yeah.
When we, first of all, he is consummate celebrity.
Yeah,
like he is everything you want from a celebrity.
Yeah.
He doesn't let you down. He doesn't let the stranger down. The person that stops him and wants a moment with him.
He gives it to them.
And I was really blown away at like just how like generous he is.
You look like a kid. He's like telling you, your delts are so nice and you like, see your shoulders and your calves.
Calves.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Fortune said to me, Fortune was funny as shit in this.
Yeah.
And she said to me, I didn't talk for the whole time. And she goes, hey, what's going on? Are you starstruck? I go, yeah, I am. I was just caught.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know that people don't see me as like a workout guy, but I have worked out my whole life.
Sure.
And Pumping Iron is the consummate workout movie.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. I made him laugh in this. I said something about Lou Ferrigno's dad being the first helicopter parent.
Yeah.
And he goes, ah. He was. And then my favorite line.
I thought you were about to die right then.
My favorite line is I said to him, I wonder if we posted this clip. We should post it. I said, Arnold, what's the one movement you miss doing now that you've gotten older? And real quick, he goes, deadlifts. I said, really? And he goes, deadlifts. I love deadlifts. And I said, really? Because I had just seen on Rogan's podcast, Robert Oberst say deadlifts are pointless, that you shouldn't do them. Uh-huh. And I was like, I go, really? And he goes, I could deadlift 710. Oh, it's great for the, if you do it right. And he just walks. And you know, it's like so funny watching Pumping Iron. You watch him almost like coach everyone about bodybuilding.
Yeah.
He's coaching everyone throughout the entire thing. He knew more about it than anyone else. And when he does that to you,
yeah,
it's surreal. Just like, yeah. It's surreal. I'll hold it here. Now hold it. Hold it. Let me feel this deltoid. Oh, God. This is him saying they need me. I made to make a cast of my body. Look, I don't know if they have enough fucking clay. You have to pre-order the whole shit. Dude, he was so fun. And I'm telling you, like, you know, I burn it pretty hard.
Yeah.
What is beautiful about his life, and I won't go into too great a detail, but he shared a little bit of like how his day works.
Yeah.
And he's just got it. He has no fucking phone. He has no fucking phone. He's got an iPad if he wants to FaceTime his kids or whatever, yeah. You know? But he has the same schedule every day, and it's just set up to be so LA. And he goes and works out at Gold's Gym. Everyone knows he's there. He does the rounds. He introduced me to like 20 people. This is the next action star. Look at this body. Isn't this great? They would, you know, he said to me, he goes, they wouldn't let me do comedy because of my body. And now they're letting you be an action star? He was fucking awesome, yeah. Man. Like there was so, I have to say this. I had the most spectacular 2 weeks leading up to this movie.
Yeah.
I worked out with Arnold. First of all, I stayed at Shudders. I never would stay at a place. I stayed at Shudders. It's fucking gorgeous down there.
You never been there?
No, I've never fucking been there. I don't, why live in LA? Why would I get a hotel in LA?
Because it's fun to stay at the beach.
It's fucking fun as shit to stay at the beach.
Yeah.
Saw Edward Norton at breakfast.
Yeah.
Definitely overwhelmed him with my energy.
I could see how that could happen.
Definitely overwhelmed him.
How'd that go?
Not good. Not good.
Were you like, what's up, dude? I love this movie.
No, I was like, Edward Norton! Oh! And Leanne goes, did you just steel clap at him? And he was like, hey, how you doing? I was like, I don't want to be a fucking actor. I want to be a movie star. And then we're at work. We're at the office. Everyone's at the office. And we get a text. Yo, Dwight Yoakam's in town at the Greek. And, I forgot that I'd performed at the Greek.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't forget, but I just was like, I wonder if we should get tickets. And then Leanne's like, text the Greek. Just text your agent. So I send a text and they're like, tickets will be waiting for you at will call. And so me and Leon and I've always wanted to be this person because I don't really like have much of like a fucking family life, like a home life. It's all on the road.
Okay.
And so we didn't even change. We just were like, let's go to the Greek. And so we got in the car and we drove over to the Greek. We were late, but it was cool. I go to pull into park and I was like, I'm texting. Do we need like parking passes? And they're like, no, just tell him who you are. And I pull up and the guy's like, what's up, Mr. Kreischer? What's up, Mrs. Kreischer? I go, hey. And he goes, park wherever you want. And we parked anywhere we wanted. We parked right up at the Greek.
Yeah.
And then we get a call to go to the Lakers game the next night.
So you're basically what you're saying is like, I really love being famous.
I love it. I love it. I met Chappelle.
Yeah. Where? Here? There?
Well, fucking Lakers game.
Oh, at the Lakers game.
That guy, dude. You know, it's like, it's funny. I got a little bit of experience with watching like celebrity at work.
Yeah.
I don't know what the tax is on it, right? I don't know, but when I watched Arnold and Dave Chappelle within one night interact, I will tell you this, Dave Chappelle made me, I've never met him. I told him a couple times, I'd run by him, and we had been in circles.
Right, like, but not like a real in-depth.
Never, hey, this is Bert Kreischer. He's a stand-up comedian. Never met him. He made me feel so amazing.
Yeah, he does that thing
Snoop.
Too.
I got high with Snoop and Leanne the same fucking week. Jimmy Kimmel. They all have this thing that, and I don't know if it's like if they had it before they were famous or they got it now. Dave Chappelle made me feel like that I was his peer, that I was a contemporary of his, that I was like also one of the funniest people in the world. And I know I'm not, but he made me feel like that. And he made my wife feel like that. And he made everyone in that room think like, God damn it, man, I need to watch more Bert. The way he talked to me, and look, if you asked him this, he'd probably say, yeah, I don't really remember. I definitely saw him. Yeah. Like I don't think Dave did it on purpose. I don't think he did anything. Yeah. But he was so
he's gracious like that though.
Dude, he's just gracious, but he's larger than life, and he fills the fucking room up. Jimmy Kimmel, I see Jimmy Kimmel walking at the thing, and I do not know Jimmy Kimmel. Like, I mean, I don't know him, but I mean, I know him, but I don't, like, he's not a friend. And I see him, and I just did this thing where I went like this, like, hey. And he went, hey. And he came over with his wife, and he's like, Bert, what's up? How you doing? Congrats on the movie. And I'm like, is this really happening? And he, like, shook my hand, and he's like, yeah, let's get a picture with the wives. And I was like, okay. And then he's like, hey, this is my, you know. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, and Leanne's like, he leaves, and she goes, do you know Jimmy Kimmel? I said, no, I don't. And then Snoop's there. I go, let's go fucking get high with Snoop. And Leanne's like, we can do that? And I go, I think we can do anything right now. I think this is called Hollywood. This is fucking amazing. And we just walked back and got high with Snoop, sent 45 minutes with Snoop Dogg. And Snoop does the same thing all them do, where he just makes you feel like, I would like to be like that. I think I do something the opposite, where I make everyone think I'm the star. Like, I think I do, like, all these people are gracious with their energy.
Yeah.
I think I'm like, oh, move out of the way, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Like, it was really fascinating. It was a really fascinating
But everyone 2 weeks. That you have mentioned is super famous.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's really, they can do that if they want to, you know? Like, it's nice of them that they go, I'm going to put some of this out,
it's,
you know?
It's so, I say this critically as a friend, but it's so different than Joe's energy.
Really?
And Joe's, I think, the most famous person.
He's very famous.
Joe's energy is so honest. It's so humble.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's so different. It's Joe. It's he almost also, like he shuns away from
he
that.
He also doesn't want to go to anything that you mentioned.
Nothing that I mentioned.
The only events that Joe goes to as a spectator are fights.
Yeah.
And he's literally going because he really wants to watch that fight. He is not going to be seen, or he wants to, like, talk to people or hang out. He's like, I want to see this fight, whether it's Muay Thai or boxing or MMA. He just goes and he goes, I want to watch this fight. And then he's ready to roll. That's it.
Joe has. So as if all, I hope I'm not being too critical of anyone. All of those people I mentioned have the, hey, come sit at the cool kid table for a second. And they make you feel special.
Yeah.
Joe has the, we've known each other since fifth grade. Let's not fuck around energy.
Yeah.
Like, he has very honest, direct.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe it's because I've known him forever. Maybe I don't know what it's like to know him. Like, I think Shane Gillis said, you didn't know, it might have been Shane, I'm sorry, but you didn't meet Joe when he was famous. You knew Joe. So you never got to be overwhelmed by, and he goes, they said Joe has the same thing. He does the same thing. Because he does do it to people, where he just gives people big hugs and, you know, what's up? He does make you feel special when you walk into the green room of the mothership. But it's so funny that Joe, I know, is such a, like, pull you to the corner, like, hey, what's going on? Da, da, da. You know, like, it's really weird.
Yeah.
I wonder if that happens if you know Arnold and you're like.
Probably. Because Joe's checking in on you as a friend at that point, though. You know what I mean? That's the difference is that you actually are friends with him. Where, like, those other people you mentioned are kind of like meeting you, right? They're just kind of like,
yeah, so, kind of.
So they're trying to just be gracious, nice, kind of super famous people in the room. Where Joe's going to be like, hey.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy that, like, fame is, like, so weird to watch it. Like, I don't know why people don't like it. Because it's cool when you can make someone's day. Like,
you love fame.
I don't know if I love, I don't know.
Feels like you love fame.
I enjoy it. Yeah, I enjoy it. Like, do you like it?
I think I have a different perspective on it. That, well, I don't enjoy that many interactions, which I think you do.
I love the interactions. Yeah. Like, I love when, like I was at the...
It makes me anxious, though.
Oh, it doesn't make me anxious. It makes me comfortable.
That's the difference.
It makes me feel like I'm home, like I'm with friends.
Jesus Christ.
Like, when people come up and they're like... Like, I got on the airplane the other day from wherever I was flying to. I got on the airplane, and the two flight attendants, two dudes, were like, Mr. Greischer. And I was like, what's up? And they're like, we know how you are. And he pulls out Double Jack on the Rocks, Locks of Rocks, because I have that speech about never wanting to quit drinking. And he goes, they'll keep coming. And I went, oh, it's almost like I grew up with that guy.
Yeah.
Like, he knows me. I like it. And Leanne doesn't like it. The girls fucking hate it.
That's what I would assume.
The girls absolutely hate it. Like, they don't have any interest in it. And I don't think they like that it happens to me. But I love like, if you can make, someone makes you feel good with giving you a compliment, and then you can make them feel good by being nice.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden that's like a cool interaction to have.
Well, sure. I mean, I like what you're talking about being nice, but I'm saying, like, I think you see a large group of people and part of you go, like, you kind of open up. You're like, oh shit. Yeah. Like, these people are here. I'm going to say, and I think I would just try to go like around that group of
people. We've been going to movie theaters. I've seen my movie 10 times now.
Jesus.
We've been going to movie theaters and watching it with people, like just sitting in and watching. And then at the end, getting up and going, hey, thanks for coming. And people like lose their shit. Because, you know, very few people that are in movies go to the movie theaters and watch themselves.
Yeah.
It's a unique individual.
Yeah.
And so we've been doing it, and it's so fun. It's so fun to see the look on someone's face, like, what the fuck are you doing in here?
Yeah.
And you're like, let's get a picture. And they're like, for real? And you're like, yeah, fuck yeah. And then it's I don't know. I'll tell you what, it makes sense. It started making sense to me while you moved to Austin.
Yeah. Cause
you're more like a Joaquin Ed Norton, where you're more about like, I just want to enjoy doing the work I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really give a fuck about the other stuff.
That's pretty true.
Whereas I love the work I do. I love doing stand up. All I want to do is stand up, podcasting. I mean, now movies. I mean, I can't wait. I cannot fucking wait for us to do a movie together. I cannot wait, because I can't wait to show you what I like about it,
mm-hmm.
and to see what you hate, what I like.
That's what you're looking forward to?
That, yeah. But the creative aspect is fun.
Yeah.
The creative aspect's
what do you so like the rewarding. Most about making a movie?
It feels like camp.
Yeah.
Because everyone has to live somewhere for like 2 months, 3 months. And then everyone just like, immediately I was talking to someone the other day, and they're like, if you could make a movie with Tom anywhere, where'd you want to go? I go, out of the country. And they go, why? And I go, because I don't want his family near us. Like, I just want him all to myself for 3 months. I go, because if we do in Atlanta, he'll just fly home every weekend.
Yeah.
He'll fly home like on a Tuesday if he doesn't have to work on Wednesday or late till Wednesday.
Yeah.
He'll just go back and forth. But if we're in Australia, I go, we're locked in and it's fucking camp. And we're going to fucking be partying every night and fucking, and we each have assistants and we'll make them fight. Like, it'll be fun. It'll be so fun. And the creative part's amazing. The creative part is fucking amazing, and when it works, it's rewarding, and you feel like, God damn it, man, I'm so close to the thing. But the funnest is like when you guys got a Saturday off, and you're like, and everyone's in a different country or a different place,
yeah.
And you send a text to everyone, you're like, yo, Sommelier will be at my house at 12. Come over wearing a white shirt, just fun, and then everyone comes over. It's like, I look at Jason Momoa's life, I'm so fucking jealous. He bought a fucking, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say everything.
Oh well, he has a good time, and he takes care of his crew and his people, and
they go riding motorcycles.
Oh, that dude is like motorcycle addict. He loves motorcycles.
They go riding motorcycles, and they drink beer, and they fucking dress cool. And then dude,
he told me he has some insane amount of motorcycles. Like, it's really crazy.
He's got an interesting style. God, I thought that was me for a second. The shoulders.
Look at that guy.
Fucking guy.
I know that's a real guy. It's fucking crazy.
Like, if they in high school, if they were like, yo, you can be gay, and then they showed me a picture of my wife and Jason Momoa, I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna go gay. I get that. I can ride next to that. I can hang out with that guy and play with that guy every day. Just fucking ride motorcycles and grow our hair out and get extensions and throw axes.
Yeah.
He's a fucking badass.
Yeah, he's a cool dude, man. Very cool dude. A lot of fun. For the what's it called? For the press you did this TV show. I just saw this short clip. I had like 50 people send me this, even like privately.
What?
He's pulling it up right now. Where you were doing like just some, I don't know, you did so many, I'm sure.
The Machine himself joins us now to tell us more. Please welcome comedian Bert Kreischer.
Bert!
Do you ever correct them?
Play the beginning of go to Drink Champs.
Drink Champs?
Drink Champs, Nori's worse.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Go to Drink Champs Instagram.
Is that up now?
It should be up.
Where does that air? Is that on?
I think it's on Volt.
Oh, so it's not on YouTube,
it's on Revolt,
right?
Or something. Here, go to Drink Champs. Scroll down. We drank Pappy.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's one of the funnier fucking podcasts I've ever done.
Well, there's one. How about there? Bert Kreischer, Drink Champs on the right, the far right one there. Is that, could that be it or no?
Yeah. Yeah. Here we go. That's it.
Bert Kreischer.
Bert Kreischer.
Pappy Van Winkle.
Shut the fuck up.
I got pretty fucked up on this podcast.
All that guy's location. If I could sneak around and put my dick on his shoulder, he'd be like, got me.
Rolling Stone. I get pretty wild.
Yeah.
I said some stuff that I think I'm going to get in trouble for.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I called him that next morning. I was like, hey, you got to take some of this shit out.
Really?
He was like, done. But then I was like, we were both drunk when I sent it, so I don't even know if they made it out. I said some, well, you know, man, his energy, that podcast is fun as fuck. Goes for 3 hours. You get pretty fucking lit.
Yeah.
There's a ton of marijuana smoke in there. And it's so funny. I really wanted to talk about hip hop because I, you know, despite what I look like, I am a big hip hop fan.
Sure.
But they didn't want to talk about hip hop. They wanted to talk about me. And I was caught off guard. And he was like, yeah, I'm a fan. And I was like, shut the fuck up. And he goes, I told my wife who's on the podcast. She goes, you mean the fat, shirtless white guy? And he was like, that's it. You know, it's funny. One of the things, I never said this on the podcast to him.
I'm a big fan. Big fan.
Right?
Yeah.
Dude.
He's great. Drink Champs is great. Also, like, him just as an artist, like, a couple of those albums were fucking wild.
Dude. First of all, his reverence for hip hop. That's what I think the coolest thing about him is. You know, I get asked often, you never really talk about yourself as a great stand up.
Melvin Flint the Hustler, dude.
What?
Melvin Flint the Hustler.
Someone said to me, you never really talk about yourself as a great stand up. You always say that your friends are better than you. And I go, they are. I go, but I have a reverence for stand up. I only hang out with the best stand ups in the world. What am I going to say, that I'm better than everyone? I'm not. And when Nori talks about hip hop, the way he talks about Scarface or DMX, or even Trick Daddy, like, he treats them with such reverence that I fucking love it.
That is very cool.
Because it's really cool. Man, he is fucking nothing. That I was listening to that whole day. I did it on the treadmill.
What?
That song, Nothing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great song. Mike Epps is in that music video.
Is he?
Yeah. But it's like, I've listened to a lot of Drink Champs. A lot of Drink Champs.
Yeah, they're
great. It's a great podcast. They just get fucking wasted and talk shit. The best are when you get the behind-the-scenes stories. Like, DMX stories are always the best.
They're really good, yeah.
It's such a good... You should do it.
I would do it in a heartbeat. I would do it in a heartbeat, man.
You got to do it in Miami. Do it next time you're home. I'll set the two of you up, because they're down in Miami.
Okay. We did communicate once or twice about it.
Yeah.
He and I exchanged a message, but it was a while ago.
Yeah.
It was a while ago. All right, look, we're going to wrap this up.
Okay.
Congrats on the movie. No, but the movie, if you're watching this the day or within the days that this podcast comes out, if you're listening to it, you can still go see The Machine in theaters. It's a fun, it's really fun to watch with other people. I watched it in a full sold out, obviously, the premiere night in Westwood. That was really fun to watch it with like 1,000 other people.
I'll tell you, and this is what I say, if you go in theaters, I understand it's a little more expensive, but what that does is it makes people at the studios and money. And once you make them money, they are incentivized to make more of these.
Yeah.
And that is our thing, is we want to make more movies. All comics want to make more movies. So if you do us a solid, do me a solid. I'm talking for me right now. Do me a solid. Go see this in the movie theaters. Then that will incentivize them to go, man, we really should start making more of these. For me also, but I guarantee you, I mean, I know for a fact, Tom and I would like to do one.
Yeah, I'd love to do one.
And so, and Tim Dillon would, and so would Andrew Schultz.
We all want to.
All these guys want to make movies.
Triceps.
So,
Jesus Christ,
dude, my tries are fucking. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous.
It's crazy.
And when you look at, like, I benched 285 the other day.
Wow,
285.
That's fucking half your body weight. That's crazy.
285. That's almost twice my. Or...
All right, we'll see you guys soon. Love you.
Love you.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No
scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology, dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.